imagine for those people in the last days, don't they? And it's found in Revelation 14:12. Where is the patience of the saints? There they will keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now, Pastor's going to explain more about this verse right now.
So, my topic today is persevering through adversity. Today, I'm going to keep considering the fact about overcoming discouragement. Today, I want to talk to you about resilience. I want to look at adversity and how we can persevere through it. This faith that can make our spirit to impress us is the God of us. Heavenly Father, we are here today because we want to hear from you. We want to walk in your word. And I feel that you teach us from your word how we can live our lives. Give us Jesus' name. Amen. My family and I are listening to a story about the life of William Wilberforce. Somebody who hasn't heard about him, I highly recommend that you learn more about his life. William Wilberforce grew up in a nominal Christian home. His father died when he was so young, and he came over with his uncle and aunt, who were active Methodists. And this taught him to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And this worried his mother, she forced him to leave his uncle and aunt and return home because he was afraid of people falling. And so they didn't have anything to do with it, and he tried to steer him away from pure Christianity. And involving them in all sorts of activities, dancing, drinking, studying, and concerts. And they were wealthy, and so they had the world at their feet. He drifted more and more away from Jesus, and he became rebel. Eventually, he attended St. John's College at Cambridge University, where his academic advisor, I think, was encouraged him not to study, just to develop relationships. That's what he did. He ended up partying and gambling and socializing with other gifts here throughout his student study. But this was not interested in politics. He ran for public office as an MP in the House of Commons in the English Parliament. And he won even though he was only 21 years old. So his friend, in the time of Cambridge, William Pitt, also ran for office and initially lost the vote into Parliament a year later by turning his way into office. He didn't have to all accept during this time, so there were certain boroughs where people could trade their way into their uncle. So this census has played a significant role in William Wilberforce's life, because William Pitt eventually became the Prime Minister of England at the age of 24 years old. I think the youngest Prime Minister in English history. So William was always very close to power, because his son was the Prime Minister. In 1784, Wilberforce had a conversion experience while on vacation to continental Europe. It happened when he was reading a Christian book. He was actually traveling back to England from his vacation. And the book changed his life. Now, he appealed to me the power of reading and studying. He needs a book. And so he becomes a true Christian again after reading the book. And his priorities changed drastically. He began to wrestle with both plans for his life. And upon returning home, he visited the famous house of John Newton and asked him if he thought that he could continue as a politician and remain a Christian at the same time. Now, Brother John Newton told him that indeed he could be a Christian and be a politician. And so, Wilberforce decided to stay in Parliament and he began to look to what God wanted him to do with the rest of his life. He wasn't going to do like he had been before. So he turned his time to an abolitionist came to him and spoke to him about the evil of slavery and asked him if he would try to end the slave trade. And he considered the issue carefully and he would say that God wanted him to work on this issue. And his friend, William Pitt, who was the Prime Minister, supported him. And he also got involved in other activist issues. For example, Wilberforce was convinced of the importance of religion, morality, and education. And so he championed causes like the Society for the Protection of Vice. So this was a society that tried to curb the use of alcohol and change people's manners and things like that. He also got involved in supporting Jewish missionary work in India, the creation of a tent colony for black people in Sierra Leone, a foundation of church mission, which helped translate Bibles, and he became involved in the prevention of cruelty to animals. He also believed in that as a Christian. So his underlying personal conviction basically led him to say many things that were very controversial. There was one great passion was for the abolition of the slave trade, and he worked real hard for this, but many of his efforts failed. He failed again and again. The other MPs resisted his efforts because there was a war with France, and they felt that the slave trade was disadvantaged the English. So yeah, they were against it. Peter actually feared the French Revolution. They thought that if you see the slaves, this would be the French Revolution in England, and that's the power of the past. So people had all kinds of arguments for why they wouldn't help the freedom of slaves. And he had to take a lot of vision. He didn't have a place for his own health issues. And he had the built-in struggle with his powers. But you know, the strength and the adversity that he faced, he persevered. And finally he succeeded. In 1807, the slave trade act was passed. Do you remember the chicken to get this act passed that forbade the trade of slaves? It took him 18 years. 18 years to claim the British Empire. It was an extraordinary accomplishment. But it would never have happened if it were not for his perseverance. He had victory. Now, what is adversity? The English word comes from the Latin word adversus, and the word literally means turned against. The word adversity is used to describe circumstances that seem to have turned against us. We often use the word adversity to refer to serious difficulties and challenges, and this person, to continue over an extended period of time. But you can take many types of adversity. Let me just give you a few examples so that you can have a nice picture in your mind of what we're talking about. And you may have encountered some of these adversities in your own life. Have you ever lost a job and had to take a job that paid a lot less? Have you ever had to care for an ailing spouse or family member? Have you ever worked in a toxic work environment where there was a lot of hostility? Have you ever had friends who turned against you? Have you ever been told that you were no good? And that you are never amount to anything. Do you ever face financial difficulties? Do you ever struggle with mental or physical illness? Do you ever face misunderstood or unappreciated? Have you ever been in an abusive relationship? Have you ever struggled with disability? Have you ever experienced failure? Sometimes adversity is something that you can just walk away from. But most often, that you're stuck in a situation, and you have to deal with it. We all face adversity in one form or another. And so we need to ask ourselves, how do we persevere through adversity? This is relevant to both forms of adversity, the kind you can walk away from and the kind you can't. Because no matter if adversity can be altered or not, you still have to deal with the situation in a way that honors God. And that requires us to endure and deal with circumstances in the right way. And perseverance is a major theme in the Bible. Let me share some texts that show how important perseverance is. But before I do that, it's important to understand the Greek and how the Greek is often translated. So the Greek word translated as perseverance in the New Testament is hyperlamia. It means the capacity to bear up or under difficult circumstances. Now this word is often translated as patience in the New King James Version, for example. So, Jesus taught that it was necessary for all of his followers who were part of the special Jewish faith to persevere. This is what Luke chapter 21, verse 17 to 19, where Jesus uses this word, hyperlamia. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, and that a share of your health will be lost. And your patience will rest your soul. So, Christ made it clear that God was the first for people in their adversity, but they needed to persevere through that adversity. The expression translated to possess your soul means literally to acquire one's soul or to acquire one's life. So, they must persevere to keep their salvation. In Revelation 13, 10, we read, in John, we read also the same word, hyperlamia. In John prophesied of the total persecution of the saints in the Middle Ages. He stated that it would be necessary for the saints to persevere. This one says, he who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword, he shall kill with the sword. Fear is the patience and the faith of the saints. So the text suggests that perseverance consists in the ability to face the great persecution without fading back. And we're going to take control of another instance of this word this morning. Talking about the final generation of faithful Christians, we have to persevere in being persecuted for the Sabbath truth. We read in verse 12. Here is the person of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God in the faith of Jesus. In the last days, perseverance was inflicted on ongoing trust in Jesus under extremely difficult circumstances. And faithful obedience to the commandments of God at great cost to oneself. But here's the most important point. The Bible does not only teach us that perseverance is necessary in times of persecution. The Apostle Paul identifies perseverance as a key Christian characteristic that all Christians should have under all circumstances. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 through 11. Paul is kind of using that same word to describe how we ought to be as Christians in every situation. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence and to receive virtue and to give to knowledge and to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Perseverance is not just something that we need to have in our Christian persecution, so to say, but it's something that we need in everyday living as we face adversity. And I just saw many big and small adversities. Come across our world. Things don't work out the way we want them to work out. People disagree with us. Abrupt changes happen in our schedules. People disapprove of what we're doing. We're faced with demands and deadlines. Mistrust of victims and discussions. Unkind words are spoken to us. We have to wait for our courage. How to make mistakes to cause problems. And so forth and so on. Perseverance is an everyday virtue that is not just in big adversity, but persecution. It's for small adversity. Perseverance is the ability to bear under all difficulties that we face without breaking down, without becoming ill, without lashing out. Perseverance is the ability to deal with difficulties in a comfortable manner. Perseverance is the ability to stay in adversity for the long run instead of bowing out and running from the problems we face. And how can we have perseverance in adversity? I think we can learn the secret to perseverance from a master perseverer and a master teacher of how to persevere, the Apostle Paul. And let's just look at Paul's own example, and then afterwards look at his teaching about perseverance. Paul wrote to a co-worker in 2 Timothy as an example of a minister of the gospel. Paul claims perseverance is one of the key Christian characteristics that defines his own life. We read about this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 to 12. Paul is describing himself. He says, "But you, Timothy, have followed the doctrine, a manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecution, affection. It happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, the persecution and word. And I owe them all the Lord delivered me. And yes, all the desire to live godly and to Jesus will help us with this. Notice in these verses how Paul lists the character trait of perseverance along with his teaching, his manner of life, his purpose, his faith, and love is one of the essential attributes of his life. Paul would not have been Paul without perseverance. I would not have been a follower of Christ without this attitude. He was part and parcel of a life of a faithful gospel worker. Now let's look at Paul's perseverance. How did he persevere? Well, we'll look at the story. The story after Paul was visited by Jesus and converted in Acts chapter 9, he was told that his life would be filled with adversity. Look at what the Lord said to Ananias about Paul in Acts chapter 9, verse 16 and 16. For he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear your name before Gentiles, kings, even Israel, and I will show him how many things from the south of Shemaim and Faith. So put heaven to the life of adversity. I will show it to Jesus, and I will see this from the start of the Christian experience. The moment you start living for Christ, you experience great adversity. Prior to going to say that Jesus at the synagogue in Damascus, and Acts 9 verse 23 says that he tried to kill him. He thought he was found, but and you don't give up on faith. It's persevered. Through faith and work of Jesus, you are given the next adversity. In verse 9, it says, that Troy is the type of the poor. The brothers find out they help him. So, how does he do it? And that's it. And he doesn't give up, he persevered. He says he was helping the Samaria, and then he went on his work of purpose in some town. But it's clear to think of an Acts chapter 1, verse 25. When Barnabas goes to Tarsus to help Paul and bring him back to Antioch to help him. Acts chapter 1, verse 25 says, and Barnabas declared to Tarsus to seek Paul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it was that the whole year they assembled to the church and taught the group new people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So in Antioch, Paul ministered to bring Barnabas to the church. Then, in Acts chapter 13, verse 23, we read that the church at Antioch was told by God to collect Barnabas and Paul to bring the gospel to new places and new people. People who had never heard the gospel. And this has been Paul's first missionary journey. As we do a brief survey of Paul's first missionary journey in the book of Acts, in chapter 13 to 14, you'll notice that he says one adversity after another and didn't give up. It's just a word. So let's look at his perseverance in his first missionary journey. Paul traveled to many places, but we know only about 60 of them mentioned in the book of Acts. Temple, Pergamum, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. What's interesting is that in about four of these places, Paul and Barnabas faced adversity that was worth mentioning. In other words, they faced no real adversity in four out of 6 places they ministered to. That's about 67% of the ministry was adverse to Jesus. It was really tough work. And that's what the first one is. I read about the first noteworthy adversity that Paul encountered on his first missionary trip. So when they were in Cyprus, they preached the gospel to the island. Then they came to Pontus, and they shared the gospel with the full council, Claudius Paulus, and the intelligent man. And the first day that they made, the first word had to stop them from influencing the full council. The text says that he withstood them. This was the first encounter with adversity. And what did they do with it? They didn't give up. No, they trusted in God, and God did a miracle by temporarily blinding the enemies to neutralize the evil influence they had over the full council. Because of this, the full council put his faith in God. It persevered. In our Acts chapter 14, verse 35, we read about the second noteworthy adversity. Remember, there are four of them. That Paul encountered on his first missionary trip. After preaching the gospel in the synagogue, many Jews and Jewish prophets came to faith. He took the table that America comes forward, and the Jews become envious of his influence. And they began to argue with Paul and say bad things about him. Verse 50 tells us that the Jews stood up to devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city. And he raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and forced him to leave the region. Now, how did Paul and Barnabas respond to this adversity? Did they give up? Did they lash out? No, they didn't. They left the city temporarily as a culture by the authorities and were obedient to Jesus' own instructions. But this wasn't the end of the story. In Acts chapter 13, verse 21, we learned that after he returned to that town later on, and the fear had kind of died down, and was ministered and encouraged the new converts. So once again, they persevered through adversity. The third time of adversity was Acts chapter 18, verse 4 to 5. So they came to Iconium, and then they spoke in the synagogue, despite the God's spiritual in Antioch. Again, a large multitude of Jews and Greeks believed, and there were also Jews from Lystra. And the Jews stood up against Paul and closed their minds against Paul and Barnabas. And how did they respond to this adversity? Did they give up? No, they stayed a long time preaching, starting through these issues, raised against the gospel. They dealt with their opposition and calm and thought from there. And it says that they boldly proclaimed Jesus and their faith. And God gave them signs and wonders to help the people believe. So they persevered through the adversity. And that brings us to the turn to the word. And the message became controversial, divisive, outside of the synagogue. And the whole town was divided into two groups. Those who believed and those who didn't. And the opposition was so intense that the Jews and the Greeks, who normally were kind of against each other, they ended up together to storm them. and he's going to become aware of his trap to escape, but then he has to come back to the plane to get up to the leader. So then we see perseverance for that verse. And then finally, chapter 13, verse 18 to 20, and he's a fear and worship of his faith. And this is perhaps the hardest of them all, and potentially most people. In this book, Paul healed a sick of man. And when people gathered around, they tried to worship him, and they were quite adamant about it. Paul urged him to stop and explain that his worship is polluted. And he was just a very frustrated with that to worship him. But then when he came from the previous places that he had been to, and this fell closer than Paul, this person had driven all the things to God. And God goes to those next day and they left. But then they came back there a little later when he was kind of calmed down. So despite nearly touching death, he didn't give up. And you know, when I read this story, and this is just the first journey, and if you look at my little Timothy, he mentions these stories as evidence of his perseverance. I'm not to say that Paul was the greatest perseverance. There are many great ones, but Paul was the greatest. Nothing seems to stop him. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 22, verse 33, he describes the virtue of faith in very broad scope. God is the first in my brain, and I just want to remark a little about these verses. He says in verse 24 that he was rich 5 times, with 30 strokes in this one. In verse 25, he says he was beaten with rods 10 times, he was stoned once, not even close to death. He was shipwrecked 10 times, he was trapped with 2 times to survive. He says that himself has encountered many dangers from waters, from robbers, from some fishermen, from Gentiles, and is sitting in the country and the sea. And even among false prophets, how it seems weariness, toil, sleeplessness, hunger, thirst, fasting, cold, nakedness, besides other things. How did he mention the times that he went to prison? But Paul's story is an extraordinary story for him. Now, what makes this story to me so relevant is not just his example, but it's his teaching. And as impressive example of endurance makes his teaching so powerful because what he was teaching is something that touched him in his own life. So I want to look at his teaching because he is the greatest teacher about perseverance. Now, Paul taught us to persevere through Jesus. That was an error that he said. In 1 Thessalonians 1 3, we have this foundational thought about perseverance in Jesus, and it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 10 of verse 2. He says, let your thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of fruit in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father. In the larger context, when I look at these two verses, we see that Paul is thanking God because the Thessalonians are living out their faith, their love, and their fruit. They're living this out in the real world. And so he's praising God for their practical Christianity. He's praising God for their work of faith, for their labor of love, and for their patience of hope. They are putting into practice what we're talking about. But notice the last phrase describing the practical Christianity. Patience of fruit in our Lord Jesus Christ. In this case, Paul basically explains the essence of his teaching about endurance. And he uses the word hypomania, which is perseverance, and the sense of his teaching. And so the perseverance is the hope and sense of Christ. And what does Paul mean by this expression? He means that the perseverance is born of the hope of coming Jesus. The perseverance is hope put into practice. So Paul is thanking God because their hope in Christ has allowed them to persevere through adversity. So this is the main concept of what Paul has to say about perseverance. But I want to look more closely at this. And there's one particular text that I want to draw your attention to because in this text, Paul lays out a practical understanding of how we persevere through our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is going to be found in 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, starting with verse 5. And I'm going to break this picture down into 4 small, bite-sized reviews. And this is, I think, very helpful for us to do this scripture. So, the first idea that we're going to see in this writing is that we must have hope that God will reveal Christ in and through us. how is he revealing himself to us? He uses the same response. He says, so we do not teach ourselves because Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves the God servants, the Jesus says, for it is God who commanded the light to shine out in darkness, to show in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. For we will discover faith and vessels as the evidence of the power and the view of God in all of us. So, let me hear what I want to say. That we are called to communicate the knowledge of God through everything we do in our lives. This knowledge is what the world really needs. The world needs to see the face of Jesus. And we have received an awesome responsibility of revealing Christ to the world to get to and have knowledge of God. So the first idea is that we are called to reveal God to the world. The second idea, none of us hope that God will reveal Christ to the world by our perseverance to adversity. Look at verse 2. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not Christ. Thou art perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the throne of the Lord Jesus. The life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always committed to the death of Christ's sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So let me say that in this text. Jesus uses our perseverance and adversity to reveal himself to the world. Just as Christ suffered on the cross to reveal God to the world, our suffering and adversity reveals Christ to the world. And without adversity, it gives God the chance to reveal himself. Now, maybe hard pressed, but if we don't make circumstances comfortable, then Jesus is revealed. Now, maybe perplexed, but if we do not despair, then Jesus is revealed. We must not be shaken and shut down, but if we do not give up, then Jesus is revealed. When we persevere through adversity in a Christ-like manner, our way of dealing with adversity reveals the life of Jesus to the people around us. Our resilience testifies to God's strength in our life. Our resilience testifies to God's love. And the inability of circumstances to defeat us testifies to the reality of God in the world today. The third idea is that we must have hope that God can use our perseverance through adversity to breathe spiritual life and faith into others and lead them to salvation. Look at verse 12. It says, servant God is working in us, but life in you. To know the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, to believe in God's life spoke. You also believe in God's speech. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will raise us up with Jesus and will present us for you. For all things are for your sake. For grace has been sent for the many, and Christ has given to the bound to the glory of God. So Christ trains many people to keep perseverance in the cross. He turns their hearts. Our adversity and our perseverance can breathe new life into other people. Not only after such adversity, but our perseverance can breathe spiritual life into others. The way we handle our problems and turn lives. Our kindness, our forbearance, our peacefulness, and hopefulness in the face of adversity can touch other people's lives with God's love. And can lead them to serve God in the same way we do. And so we have the hope of one day being together and worshiping God with our blessing. So, Paul says in another place that he endured everything for the sake of the elect, that they may have the salvation of the Lord. So he talks about this in his own life. And the fourth idea is that we must have hope that by persevering through adversity, we will develop character which are fit for heaven. This is the fourth and last idea here, starting in verse 16. But for therefore we do not lose hope, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house is seen as destroyed, we are building from God a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. this whole idea is that we develop characters that are sick and having to persevere through adversity. It is not to happen to us that matters, but how we walk through our habits. Not only our bodies, we suffer in adversity. But perseverance is sort of inner character internally. And we have to deal with everything, even life itself. But if we persevere through adversity, then we prepare to eternal life. So we took the illustration from the natural world to illustrate how character is developed through adversity. A number of years ago, we took a place a number of young trees in a greenhouse. One group was controlled by a stick. The second group was left to her and was left to grow unstaked. And the third group was left unstaked, and there were many of the days these trees back and forth for 7 months every day. At the end of 7 months, three groups of trees were measured for growth and height and diameter. The two trees were the tallest, but also the weakest. So the trees that had sometimes support were the tallest, but they were also weakest. This trunk had the smallest diameter. The eighth tree was intermediate in height and some diameter, and many were not growing straight. And so unstaked trees that were waved back and forth were the shortest, but had the greatest front diameter and were the strongest. So this seems so important to women to the health and growth of trees. You see, when trees grow and the wind moves back and forth, this causes a stress load on the stress of the tree. And the problem for this is the tree develops something called reaction wood. This stress wood can have a different structure than normal wood, and so the tree is able to grow in a more solid manner. So we just said that, you know, trees to go off in life cannot have support, but also need to experience the wind. So this is also a concern of adversity in character development. We do not develop character by having easy life. Since the character develops through adversity, we'll need to be spoken and challenged. So let me summarize. How do we persevere through adversity? But God teaches us that we persevere through adversity by thinking about adversity in a certain way. Hope. We persevere by having our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, things that we have to have our hope in. We must have hope that God will reveal Christ in us and through us to the world. That's the first thing. We must have hope that God will reveal Christ to the world by our perseverance through adversity. And two, we must have hope that God can use our perseverance to breathe spiritual life into the people around us. Third, we must have the hope that by persevering through adversity, I will develop a character that is fit for heaven. So the capstone of Paul's teaching about perseverance is his belief that it only takes place power that we can do. It is not enough to approach adversity with hope that our minds have. We need something more. We need the power of God. God alone can give us the strength to persevere. And this thing comes out in Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. We talked about how he was pleased enough with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience, all perseverance, and long suffering with joy. So he said, bring strength to the passion, that they might be strengthened with all might, according to the glorious power, for perseverance, and long suffering with joy. Remember, the word here is epimonia, which means perseverance. Paul knew that the church had experienced from Christ in order to persevere. This is not something we can just pull out of ourselves. We need to acknowledge our need and ask for it. We need to hear the promise of what Paul is saying. Paul told us that we don't have to face adversity with a destroyed spirit. We don't have to be stressed and worried. We don't have to be weighed down by others. We can face adversity with joy to the power of Jesus. It is possible. It's not really possible. It can't survive. We're going to end with a story that the story says what the Lord is going to do for us if we will acknowledge our need. And this is a story from our own church. The last week I was meeting a little bit with Father Logan, who has been a member of the church for years. His father and mother have been here for years, and his dad, Bob, died 2 weeks ago. And so, they've had a lot of adversity in their life. They have moved from Southern all the way to the East because of their job. And of late, they've had a lot of adversity on their job. and this is called them to hold. Now, there are heresies that you have experienced in this power. And I never think it's permission to share a quote of a letter that you sent me when you spoke about what God did for. I'm just going to say to you, that's my letter. He said that after I sent you the last email the other day, I had a special answer to prayer. I believe it's kind of saying how God works. And after about an hour after I sent you the last email, I became more emotional. Even though I was right with it at work, I was not listening to your same kind of urban spirit. I began to cry and think, why is God allowing me to be like this? For no reason, you would end up in such disarray. I began to cry for no reason at all. It was truly unexplainable. And when I was to the message of sermon, when I prayed prayer to you, sending me the original email, I was trying to come out. I prayed many times this past month that the Holy Spirit would guide me to whatever God was calling me to do, and that I would take your attitude that He wanted me to do if He would only send me a glimpse of what He had in mind. It was kind of power that God, and I had to perform some draws and store at work. Did He draw work? I know that I had to go to an elevator and go down a couple of floors to reach my destination. So it was far and few of them, and I had almost gotten to one of the drugs and needed to perform. Do you know that that God poured out His grace on me? And I began to laugh uncontrollably. It was like a light bulb had gone off in my head, and the sense of peace began to enter me. And I began to think that my God gave me a lack of peace I had never felt before. It was very powerful. I could hardly contain my emotions, but I managed to dry my eyes, regain some sense of composure just long enough to perform the two draws that were fighting. I then prayed again, asking God what to do. This is where I will write my life story about how you have guided my life. Also, I think God has asked me to my thoughts and with a new piece of healing to begin to write about my life story and how God has guided me since I was a little boy. I share about how I got raised in a family and a Christian background and what it means to be a Christian. Christian ministry to lead others to Him. I continue to pray night and try to believe to put the soul of God in my mind. And for this moment, I have not had any real emotions other than this quick, empty peace. I do not try to do anything. In fact, things that used to annoy me have somehow melted away and you become more patient and understanding. And you can feel even now writing to you, you know that it must be close to me guiding my writing. We are not all called to be pastors, but we are all called to minister to others. We are called to do God's doing. And if you could ask as a basic answer, I believe God is calling me to share my story to bring people to Him. So I said my dad did, the true story, he wrote many years ago. You know, I'm thankful that my life story thus far is the book, and since my dad's story when it was as they also for people to do things and have the blessings God before us. But I think God for the question, I think God is going to say this, because it really illustrates that God wants to help us persevere, and He has us peace and strength, and we can get out of it. And so my prayer is that God would say to you to persevere. Remember that you need to put your hope in Jesus. You need to realize that every struggle, every difficulty is an opportunity for God to reveal Himself to you. And to develop character for Him. And so when we have that mindset, the truth of every problem, the spirit of Jesus will help us through it. May God bless each one of you. Let's pray before our Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the example of prayer. Thank you for the instruction on perseverance and showing us that there's an opportunity to really think about each situation. And so I pray that we would have that faith, we would have that hope, that you would enable us to problems not as problems but as opportunities. I thank you for today and I pray that you get peace with us here and we learn to be filled with peace and joy in our difficulties. I thank you for hearing that prayer. In Jesus' name.